savaged by blue-tongued lizard, chased by different hunters, fell off cliff, bounced into tree, pissed on by small grey incontinent teddy bear, landed in a waterhole. Friday, hot, flies. Dinner, some kind of roots which tasted like sick. This saved time. Saturday, hotter than yesterday, extra flies, V thirsty. Sunday, hot. Delirious with thirst and flies. Nothing but nothing as far as the eye can see, with bushes in it. Decided to die. Collapsed, fell down sand dune, into waterhole. He wrote very carefully and as small as possible, Monday. Hot. Flies. Dinner, moth grubs. He stared at the writing. It said it all, really. Why didn't people here like him? He'd meet some small tribe, everything would be friendly, he'd pick up a few tips, get to know a few names, he'd build up a vocabulary, enough to chat about ordinary everyday things like the weather, and then suddenly they'd be chasing him away. After all, everyone talked about the weather, didn't they? Rincewind had always been happy to think of himself as a racist. The 100 metres, the mile, the marathon, he'd run them all. Later, when he'd learned with some surprise what the word actually meant, he'd been equally certain he wasn't one. He was a person who divided the world quite simply into people who were trying to kill him and people who weren't. That didn't leave much room for fine details like what colour anyone was. But he'd be sitting by the campfire, trying out a simple conversation, and suddenly people would get upset over nothing at all and drive him off. You didn't expect people to get nasty just because you'd said something like, "My word, when did it last rain here?" Did you? Rincewind sighed, picked up his stick, beat the hell out of a patch of ground, lay down and went to sleep. Occasionally, he screamed under his breath and his legs made running motions which just showed that he was dreaming. The waterhole rippled. It wasn't large, a mere puddle deep in a bush-filled gully between some rocks, and the liquid it contained could only be called water because geographers refused to countenance words like soup hole. Nevertheless, it rippled, as though something had dropped into the centre. And what was odd about the ripples was that they didn't stop when they reached the edge of the water, but continued outwards over the land as expanding circles of dim white light. When they reached Rincewind, they broke up and flowed around him, so that now he was the centre of concentric lines of white dots, like strings of pearls. The waterhole erupted. Something climbed up into the air and sped away across the night. It zigzagged from rock to mountain to waterhole. And as the eye of observation rises, the travelling streak briefly illuminates other dim lines, hanging above the ground like smoke. So from above, the whole land appears to have a circulatory system, or nerves. 1,000 miles from the sleeping wizard, the line struck ground again, emerged in a cave, and passed across the walls like a searchlight. It hovered in front of a huge, pointed rock for a moment, and then, as if reaching a decision, shot up again into the sky. The continent rolled below it as it returned. The light hit the waterhole without a splash, but once again, 3 or 4 ripples in something spread out across the turbid water and the surrounding sand. Night rolled in again. But there was a distant thumping under the ground. Bushes trembled. In the trees, birds awoke and flew away. After a while, on a rock face near the waterhole, pale white lines began to form a picture. Rincewind had attracted the attention of at least one other watcher, apart from whatever it was that dwelt in the waterhole. Death had taken to keeping Rincewind's lifetimer on a special shelf in his study, in much the way that a zoologist would want to keep an eye on a particularly intriguing specimen. The lifetimers of most people were the classic shape that Death thought was right and proper for the task. They appeared to be large egg timers, although since the sands they measured were the living seconds of someone's life, all the eggs were in one basket. Rincewind's hourglass looked like something created by a glass blower who'd had the hiccups in a time machine. According to the amount of actual sand it contained, and Death was pretty good at making this kind of estimate, he should have died long ago. But strange curves and bends and extrusions of glass had developed over the years, and quite often the sand was flowing backwards, or diagonally. Clearly, Rincewind had been hit by so much magic, had been thrust reluctantly through time and space so often, that he'd nearly bumped into himself coming the other way. that the precise end of his life was now as hard to find as the starting point on a roll of really sticky transparent tape.